Grace, peace, and mercy from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I shall read the text once again, just the selection from Philippians that you heard a moment ago, from verse 27 in the first chapter through the 30th verse. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending unitedly for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle that you saw me have, and now hear that I shall have. My dear Christian friends in Jesus Christ, your homiletics professor, I'm sure, have told you, and most of us as Lutherans are reminded of it again and again, that it is much more easy to preach the law than the gospel. A corollary to that might be to say it is much easier to live by the law than by the gospel. We're all oriented that way, to make rules and laws and then expect others to follow them. And so this morning, on the basis of our text here, I would like to capture the essence of the text by the theme of live by the gospel. In one mind and in one spirit, I think is what Paul in our text was saying, we should live by the gospel. It is almost commonplace to say that we live in a vast, complicated, complex, impersonal society. And that doesn't make living by the gospel any easier either. It doesn't make it easy to live in one mind and in one spirit, as our text says. It doesn't make it easy to stand together as Christians. We live rather isolated lives, although we live in a lonely crowd, so to speak. This is true, for example, even when we experience joy. Now, I suppose it's easier to be isolated when you have joy in your life. But even there, if we live by the gospel, we would want to share with others in their joy and make their joy even fuller. And they reciprocate when we have that experience of joy. But it's even more difficult when we experience sorrow in life. There again is a wonderful opportunity for us to live by the gospel and share in other people's sorrow. And yet, how well do we do this in this complicated, complex society? A person passes away or is grievously ill, and we just go on about our regular, everyday business, failing as Christians, fellow Christians of those people who are suffering, to share with them to the joy of the gospel we have even in moments of sorrow. It's difficult to live by the gospel. And we need to remind ourselves of this again and again. And I think St. Paul in our text was trying to say to the Philippians, really, it is coming back again and again, not only in this text, but before that and after that, relative to the joy that they as Christians have here in the congregation at Philippi. He wants them, in other words, to experience the gospel, to live by the gospel. Not only in terms of being in one mind and one spirit as we stand together in terms of joy and sorrow, but also as we strive together. Paul says, as you contend together. We live also in an individualistic society, everyone unto himself and unto his own. Paul wants us to strive together. Strive in what manner? Obviously to live the gospel, but to shun also labels which often impede on the glory and the light of the gospel among us. Just yesterday downtown, I was taken aback a little bit by a newly confirmed member of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, an adult asked me what church I belong to here in town as a Lutheran. So I mentioned. And then the person said, "Is that the church that is hard-nosed or not so hard-nosed?" Here was another label. Somehow we as Christians didn't communicate very well that we need to live by the gospel, but rather somehow we communicated that there are even churches right in this town that live more or less by the gospel, at least as this person perceived it. You don't have to sit in the dining hall very long and interact with the seminarians to find other examples how we need to shun labels. Not so long ago, a couple of students mentioned to me that they enjoyed their particular vicarage very much, and it happened to be in a saltwater district. And our peers tend to think now that we're moderate in our theological stance. That's another label, brethren, that we need to shun, and it's not living by the gospel. Paul wants us to live in one mind, in one spirit, striving and contending so that the glory of the gospel, the forgiveness of sins that we have, the core and the essence of the gospel, would not be sullied or marred in our midst. We know the temptations are great for this to constantly happen. But our text also says that we're not only supposed to live in one mind and one body, in one spirit rather, but also that we have a common state of awareness. Paul says this, you will have opponents. We sure will. We sure do. We will have opponents in terms of living by the gospel, and that it is, and you will have it later on in the parish. People will want you to multiply rules upon rules and then be able to point to you that you have not followed these rules. Again, this is a deviation from the gospel. Rules, of course, are important. But if that is first and foremost in people's mind, the essence of the gospel somehow hasn't been very clear at that particular moment. You hear people even in our midst sometimes say, let's put teeth into the gospel. Again, that is, I think, an emphasis on the law rather than living by the gospel. The common state of awareness that Paul talks about and the opponents that we will have who urge us to live by the law rather than by the gospel of Jesus Christ will also have with it its suffering. Suffering in terms of ridicule, perhaps on a rather low scale. Paul was talking about a suffering much more grievous and serious than the ones that you and I will experience. Most of us really do not suffer like the early Christians did in terms of living by the gospel. The book of Acts speaks of the Christians as that way of life. They lived this gospel. People in our society will at least tolerate you in terms of being a Christian, and so we really don't have to suffer, at least physically. But you will suffer the ridicule and perhaps the, well, uncomfortable remarks that people will say about you as a Christian. And that's a suffering that we, if we live by the gospel, will bear cheerfully. Because Christ, too, suffered, and much more than we ever will. The gospel also, to live by it, should motivate us. That's living by the gospel. Whatever we do, St. Paul said, whether we eat or drink, let's do it to the glory of God. Let's do it because the gospel of Jesus Christ undergirds us, motivates us. So often you and I as Christians do the right thing, often for the wrong reason. We need to remind ourselves and our fellow Christians that whatever it is, we want to do it because the gospel of Jesus Christ motivates us. Whether it's going faithfully to class, faithfully to chapel, or whatever the activity might be that we have on this campus. Let's do it by living the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let that be our motivation. And may God, who loved us so much, who gave us this gospel, keep us steadfast in remembering this. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.